Truly our God is so great, so marvelous, and so wonderful. And His mercy to us is wonderful in His grace and love. This morning we're going to conclude, Lord willing, we're going to conclude Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. I know we've been there for what, the last 4 weeks maybe, this is our fifth week. But I'm not going to try to sound selfish by this, but I've been blessed in trying to study it out once again through these different names. And I pray that in some way the Lord has blessed the messages each week. This week, as we look at this, the final name that's given to Him in this particular verse, the name that is given to Jesus, is Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." May we pray. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for giving to us this open truth and knowledge concerning our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank You, Father, each week that You have shown to us the various aspects of His person through the names given in this passage. And this morning, as we come once again and look at this final name that is applied to Him, His name shall be called the Prince of Peace. May we be reminded this morning as we're beginning this new year, this year that is open, and at this point it is so clean and so fresh and so new. May we be reminded that which we seek, that which we search for, a peace that Your Word describes as going beyond understanding, we ask, Lord, that You would bless it into our hearts. Bless it to be a reality in Your Word, but also a reality in our lives as we seek that peace that comes from the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. For it's in His name that we pray, and amen. In this name, the Prince of Peace, there's four things that I want us to see as we look at this name. First of all, I want us to see the source of peace. Then I want us to see the channel or the avenue of peace, the effects of peace, and then how that we attain that peace in our lives. And I pray the Lord will bless us as we look at these four aspects, that we can bring it into to a point where that we realize that this is not just some abstract teaching that's written on a page in our Bibles, but it is true, it's real, it's alive within us, and it's something that we can achieve in our lives. First of all, as we look at the source of peace, and if I understand what peace is, it's just simply the absence of unrest. It's the absence of that turmoil and strife and things that sometimes can enter into our minds and into our beings that rob us of joy that we have as we go through life. So where does this source of peace come from? And I know what I'm going to say. Every one of you already know the answers to these. But I just wanted to remind us, and as Peter would say, stir up our pure hearts and our minds once again, just to be mindful of this as we're entering into this year. Of course, the source of peace is the one that's being spoken about here. This child that was born, this son that was given, and His name is Jesus. We know Him as Jesus. But as I thought about this, the source of peace, I thought about how that it comes to us and is experienced in our lives. So I went to the Psalms. I'm going to use a lot of scripture this morning. And if I get ahead of you, please forgive me, and I'll be glad to share them with you again after the service is over with. But I want to go to Psalm 4 and verse 8 for something that I'm at a point in life where that if I get a good night's sleep, I'm realizing what a blessing that is to be able to lay down, close my eyes, and go to sleep. I hear people say that as soon as their head hits the pillow, And I've heard of people that before their head hits the pillow, they were already asleep. And I envy that because I'm not there. I'm at a point where that I lay down and sometimes I lay there for hours tossing and turning. And Judy always says that the best pillow upon which to lay your head is a clear conscience. So maybe I need to work on that part of it. But in this eighth verse of this fourth psalm, the psalmist also is talking about the blessing of having rest at night. And he says in this eighth verse, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Now, I didn't give much thought to that whenever I was younger, but again, I'm at that point where it hits home to me. To be able to say, I'm going to lay down in peace and I'm going to rest for that, and I'm going to sleep. He says, and then after that he says, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Only the Lord can give that peace. That's why I came to this particular verse, not just to show the effect. We're going to look at that later. But the effects of it is a result of the source. Only the Lord can give that peace that we long for, that we search for, even that as we lay down at night, that we're able to just release it into the hands of the Lord and say, Father, if you don't take care of it, I can't handle it either. And sometimes I think I'm there, and then all of a sudden, next thing I know, I've got this thing that's just nagging and gnawing and chewing at me and interrupting that rest. But I do know that the only source that there is for peace is in the Lord God Almighty. I back up one psalm to the third psalm and reading verses 1 through 3 in that particular psalm. This is at a time when David was actually fleeing from his kingdom. And the reason that he was fleeing from his kingdom, he was king and he was running away. And the reason that he was running away was because his own son Absalom had tried to overthrow him. His own son had tried to raise up and say, I'm going to be king in place of my father. And so David, because of his love for his son, instead of fighting against him, which many of his soldiers and many of those that were in his kingdom wanted him to fight against Absalom, he said, I'm not going to do it. But here's what he did say in Psalm 3, starting with verse 1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? That's not a question. That's a statement. That's an exclamation. They are so increased that trouble me. Troubles on every side. Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. And I love that little word, Selah. Stop and think about that. Stop and think. Do you know, I've heard people say, well, even God can't help that situation. I want to tell you, there's nothing that's outside of the realm of God's capability other than lying. He cannot lie. But there's nothing that's outside of His capability. So here David is, even as he's thinking of this, and I don't know if he's laying down at night when these thoughts are going through him. I'm kind of putting this in the fourth psalm together in that thought that possibly he's laying there and he's thinking about all of these people that have risen up against him and spoken against him and tried to put him down and tried to stir him up and trying to get him to do what he knows the Lord is not leading him to do. And he says, he comes to that point where that there's even those that say, God won't even help you with this. As long as you're running away, God won't help you with this. And when I read those two verses this morning, once again, I was beginning to think about them. I thought, that's the outward turmoil. And listen, we have to admit, don't we? We live in a time of outward turmoil today. If we don't realize that, just turn on the news or pick up the newspaper or look at Facebook. People are in such turmoil around us. You hear hatred, you hear anger, you hear those things that are people are rising up and saying, we got to do this and we got to do that. And then it's almost as if there's no hope in some that I hear. I just don't see how that we're gone. Listen, as long as the Lord is with us, we're not gone. As long as the Lord is, let me rephrase it. As long as the Lord's on our side, as long as we're on the Lord's side, we're not gone. There's hope in the Lord. And so David is saying, think about this. He's saying that to himself. Later on in another psalm, the 42nd psalm, he would say, soul, he's talking to himself. You ever talk to yourself? Soul, why are you disquieted? Why are you so upset? Hope in God. In God is our hope. And so he's saying here, think about this. Don't let this get inside of you. Don't let this disrupt you. Don't let this take away the peace that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ, though he didn't even know him by name at that time. Don't let this come to a point where that it upsets you and robs you of the joy and the glory of the Lord. There's no help for him in God, they say. But my God says different. So there's this outward turmoil going on. But the point I want to make this morning is, though there might be turmoil all around us, there still can be peace inside. And that is in verse 3. What word does it begin with? But. One of my favorite words. But thou, O Lord. This is what they say. But thou, O Lord, you are a shield for me. You are my glory. And you're the lifter up of mine head. When a child comes to you, and maybe they've done something wrong, or maybe they're hurt, whatever, and their head is down, as a parent, what is the first thing you do other than pick them up? But even sometimes before you pick them up, what do? You put your hand under their chin and you lift their head up and you say, it's going to be okay. What does God do for us in all of this turmoil? Now, I'm going to tell you something. What I'm talking about, sometimes people in the world will say, you're just indifferent to this. I've been accused of that, of being indifferent to what's going on. I'm not indifferent to what's going on, but I do know who my shield is. I do know who the glory, not only of me, but of this church and of this community and of this nation and of the world. Well, I know who that glory is. And I know that no matter how discomforted we might get and how uneasy we might get and how so much caught up with the things that are going on, He's the one that puts His hand under our chin and He lifts our heads up and He says, I'm in control. So I want to ask, do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that our God is in control? Do you believe that He's on His throne today? Do you believe that no matter what goes on in this world, our Lord still has the complete authority? He can turn it around if He so desires. But I'm going to tell you something. If He brings us into judgment, He's still in control. And it just might be that He's bringing us into judgment. And Lord willing, I'm giving you a warning now. That's what I'm leaning toward next Sunday. It's what if. But right now, I want us to think about this, that no matter what takes place in the world, He's still on His throne. And He still reaches down. And His mercies are new every day. And every day He reaches down. And if we're just... will be in tune to the source of our peace. He lifts our heads up and He says, I've got this. Now, the world will offer peace. Be assured of that. The world, they've got a plan. And if you follow their plan, you'll find what you need. Just send them $29.99 and they'll make sure that you get the peace that you're looking for. And if you want two, they'll send you two for the same price, plus a little extra charge to go with it. You see, there's always a gimmick with the world, is what I'm getting at. There's always a gimmick. The world will promise you the world, but there's a gimmick. Satan will promise you peace, but it's not his to give. What he gives is turmoil instead. Jesus, the night that he was betrayed, he said to his disciples, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives. I leave my peace. And I want to tell you, I'd rather have the peace of Jesus Christ with turmoil all around than to have what seems to be complete rest around and turmoil inside. I'd rather have the peace of Jesus Christ. In that sense, I'm kind of like Peter in that he said, I'd rather be in the middle of the waves with Jesus than in the boat with the disciples. Where Jesus is, that old song, where Jesus is will be heaven for me. I'm going to tell you, we can experience that right now as we go through this life. When we're walking with the Prince of Peace, the Source of Peace, the One who gives us that absolute rest from turmoil and unrest in the world. So the Source of Peace this morning, as we're thinking about the Prince of Peace, is Jesus Himself. Now, the channel of peace, the channel of peace. And I know that there's that element in the world now that says you can channel those spirits that have gone. This is not what I'm talking about. When I talk about the channel of peace, I'm talking about the avenue of peace, the manner in which that it comes down to us from the throne of God. The channel of peace is indeed the Prince of Peace. Again, I know I say this about every week, but it's just so important to me to know the words that I'm talking about. Know the meaning of the words. The Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. What does it mean to be a Prince of Peace? Well, as it was used in our text today, the Prince of Peace, it means to have and to exercise dominion. To have and to exercise dominion. Now, I'm the youngest of three brothers, and I'm the youngest. And I always felt somewhat peace when I was with my older brothers. Now, sometimes they were beating up on me, yes. Sometimes they were beating up on me, but most of the times I felt a confidence being in their presence because they were older, they were stronger. In the sense, they were wiser than I was at that time. There was something about being in their presence. To a higher degree than that, isn't there something about being in the presence of Jesus Christ? Isn't there something about knowing that you're walking with the Lord and He's the one that has dominion and He exercises dominion? There's nothing that's going to catch Him off guard. There's nothing going to catch Him by surprise. There's nothing going to catch Him outside of the realm of His ability to see us through in everything. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the dominion of all turmoil. He is the overcomer of overcomers. He is the one. And the government says that the government shall be upon His shoulders. The administration of that peace, the administering of that peace is upon Him. He's the one that gives it. He's the one that sees us through. A message that I preached a few weeks ago from Revelation chapter 5 came to my mind again this week when I was looking about this, to have dominion, the power to prevail. When John saw himself in his nature, in his own ability, he saw himself to be a sinner. And I'm going to tell you, when we're in the presence of God, the fear that we might have, the fear that we might experience, it's because we're seeing our nature in contrast to His. And to see that, what Paul says, the strength of the grave is sin. There's a fear that can come to us when we first know that we're in the presence of the Almighty God. And John saw that. He saw the glory of God, a portion of it anyway. And then he saw himself, and he saw how short that he came, and he began to weep. But the point I want to get at again, not to re-preach that sermon, but as he was weeping, and he was told that no man could change that. And he's weeping. And the angel says to him, "Fear not, weep not, behold." In other words, take your eyes off of yourself. When I have fear in my life, when I have that turmoil, that Sometimes it just takes your breath away when it overcomes you, when it overwhelms you. It takes your breath away. What's going to happen? Just because I'm looking at myself and trying to figure out, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to get out of this? How am I going to deal with this? And here John is, he's trying to deal with that in this vision. But all of a sudden, the angel says, stop. You can't do it. And no other person can do it either. But behold, take your eyes off of yourself. When that fear overwhelms, take our eyes off of ourselves and behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Behold the Root of David. Behold the power and the stability that is ours through the Prince of Peace. And immediately as he saw that, there was a peace and a calmness that came over him. When we can take our eyes off of ourselves and see Jesus as he is, walking with us on a daily basis, our peace is channeled through Jesus Christ, who has reconciled us to God, who has brought us back to God. That's the ultimate peace that we can have. I'm not one who thinks that there will ever be peace on the earth. I don't think that there will be worldwide peace. When that takes place, we'll be in heaven. As long as there's two human beings, there will be unrest. Ask Cain and Abel. As long as there's two, there will be unrest and there will be turmoil. But we can channel the peace of God through Christ Jesus our Lord into us in such a way that His power flows through us in a way to realize, okay, I am now at one with God in fellowship. I am at one with God in relationship. I am at one with God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Not that I've done anything to deserve it. I've not done anything to earn it. I've not achieved it on my own. On my own, I'm nothing. But suddenly, as the Lord begins to show Himself to us, there's power that flows through, and that power brings peace. You know, that's one of the things that we hear so much today, and I believe it. That there's peace and power. Peace through power. The world, if they perceive us as being weak, here they come to eat us up. But if we understand our power is in the peace that is ours through Jesus Christ, understanding it flows into us, through us, and to God's glory. Jesus, again, the night that He was betrayed, He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Every time that I quote that, Judy, my mind both goes back to a little girl 5 years old who had to memorize a verse of Scripture at camp. And that was her verse. I'm the vine, you're the branches. And there's a peace about that, even in those words, to understand, I'm the vine. That's Jesus speaking. I'm the vine. You're the branch. You're the outgrowth. So therefore, everything that we need is supplied through the vine, through the trunk, through the root, from the root up through the trunk into us through Jesus Christ. You see what I'm talking about? Him being the channel of peace. It comes through Christ to us. It's not something that we manufacture on our own. It's not something you say, well, I'm strong enough, I can handle this. I found out many, many times over, I'm not strong enough to handle what life throws at me. But to understand that I'm attached to the One who has strength, who is strength, who is peace, and that flows into me from Him as a matter of His grace. So as I realize that, that I'm in Christ, then the words of Paul come alive to me when he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Why can I do that? Because He's the vine and He provides. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now that means Christ strengthens me, but also I can do those things that strengthen me through Christ. I can do those things which are to His glory. I can do those things which are uplifting to me. And you say, well, I don't think I've got the capability to do that. Well, just a few verses after that, Paul says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So therefore, the channeling of peace that comes to me is in Christ, it's through Christ, and it's by Christ. So therefore, the government is upon His shoulder for the peace that I can experience in my life. The peace, that the calmness that is within. Every time I think of this, I think about an instance where that a friend of ours lives up on top of Lookout Mountain in Chattanooga. And there's an ice storm, and she was coming in with her two children in the van. And suddenly, they live on the very top of it. And as she was going down her driveway, she started sliding and started going off the mountain in the van with her two children. I said, you must have been scared to death. She said, no. Would you believe I had a peace over me that I can't explain? I thought, there it is. That's what the Lord can do for us. She wasn't indifferent to what was taking place, but she knew that she was in the hands of the Almighty God. You see what a difference it makes when we go through life. There's a difference between saying, I can get this, I can do this, or saying, my Lord has me in His hands and has me in His control. There's a peace in knowing I'm in His hands. There's unrest in thinking, I got to figure out a way to do this. So therefore, the channel of peace is through Christ. The source is through Him. The channel is through Him. And now the effects of peace. And I know my time's getting short, so here we go quickly with this. Luke chapter 2. I'm not through with Christmas yet, are you? Actually, our tree's still up. We haven't even taken it down. So, Luke chapter 2. The shepherds. They're on the hillside. They're in darkness. You know, at that point, they're accustomed to darkness. They're accustomed to being on that hillside, and I suppose the moonlight, the stars, whatever has given them the ability, God's given them the ability through that, to be able to watch their flock in the darkness. But then all of a sudden, this light, this glory comes out of heaven and shines down upon them. And immediately, they're fearful. They're fearful because their world certainly is at this point suddenly has become shattered by this light. And the first thing that the angel says to them is, again, it's the message of the gospel. Fear not. I don't have a fearful gospel to preach. I have a gospel to preach that says my God is in control and Jesus Christ has accomplished that which He came to do. If I could scare somebody out of hell, I can't do it, can I? It's the work of God. It's His love and grace that brings us out and brings us into His family. Fear not. This glory that shines upon you, it isn't here to destroy you. It's here to show you something that's going to make you complete. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you in the city of David is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then he goes on to say, and then suddenly the multitude of the heavenly host were singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. What is the effect of peace? Goodwill toward men. If I have the peace of Christ in my heart that passes all understanding, vengeance is not a part of my life anymore. If I have the peace of God that passes all understanding, anger at those that might disagree with me, I don't have to deal with that anymore. I'll be honest with you. Early in my ministry, I felt like I had to defeat anybody that didn't see things the way I do. I don't have that feeling anymore. I'll be honest with you. I don't have that feeling. That they're not my enemies. They're not my enemies. As long as we're worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, we may see things differently. You see, that peace allows me to have goodwill toward other people. I don't have to feel like that I have to dominate. I don't feel like I have to be the one that's exercising dominion because the Prince of Peace is exercising dominion on my behalf. He's in charge. So that gift that God gave, the gift of His Son, the gift of peace, the gift of being at one with God, which is our peace, being at one with God, it allows me to have goodwill toward others. A Savior was born. It wasn't just the fact that God says, I'm going to give you life. No, there was a price that had to be paid. And that price that was paid through the Savior that was born. And His name is Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Lord willing, through the year, I'll talk more about the effects of peace. But I'm going to close with how do we attain it? How do we get to that point? How do we arrive at the point of having peace within? I believe the Scriptures lay it out for us. Psalm 37:37. Again, I'm going quick with this because my time is up. Psalm 37:37 says, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace." Most of us are at the age that our children that were coming up came up during a time when there was a man in the sports world that was, especially every young boy, wanted to be just like him. You know who I'm talking about. Michael Jordan. I want to be just like Mike. In fact, Nike made billions of dollars by promoting that thought. You can be just like Mike if you buy his tennis shoes. You can be just like Mike. You see, there's a catch. You'll have the peace of being one of the greatest athletes ever. You'll just buy his tennis shoes. You can jump as high as he. You can fly. You can do anything you want to if you'll just buy his tennis shoes. And Michael Jordan and Nike got rich off of that. And there's a lot of disappointed people in the world today because after buying those tennis shoes, they still couldn't jump. They still couldn't run. They still couldn't score 60 points in a game. When it says, mark the perfect man, that's not a human being that's being talked about. It's the Prince of Peace. When you mark someone out and you say, I want to be just like that person. What greater heights could we ever achieve than to strive to be just like Jesus? And that's what the psalmist is talking about. Strive to be marking. How do we mark Him? If we don't know about Him, we can't mark Him. If we don't understand how that He responded in situations, we can't mark Him. If we don't know how He responded in word or in action or in thought or any other way, we can't mark Him to be like Him. So the first thing we've got to do is start studying the Word of God. And again, I'm talking to the choir this morning. I know that. But we've got to get in the Word of God and find out what is it that Jesus did and then mark Him and say, that's how I want to respond. When that happens to me, because it will, I want to be just like Jesus. I want to respond exactly like Him. And when I can do that, the end of that man is peace. So therefore, I have peace if I can be just like Jesus. But it's not just a matter of saying, I'm going to be like Him. In the 34th Psalm, it says, depart from evil and do good. You see, there's action that must take. It's not a matter of just saying, I'm going to sit here till peace comes. No, he says, you mark it, you seek after it, but you got to depart from evil, and you got to do what's right, and you got to follow that. And then it says, seek peace, and then it says, and pursue it. And that word pursue means like, and I don't mean to offend anybody by what I'm about to say, if there's any deer hunters in here that do this, but over in southeast Georgia, they loose a pack of dogs after one deer. And those dogs pursue that deer. And until it just, if I'm talking about somebody, I'm sorry. But I never saw the sport in that. But here it says, you pursue Christ Jesus. You pursue Him. It's not just a matter, and he came to me initially, yes, but in order to be like Him, I've got to be active. I've got to do what the Lord tells me to do. I've got to pursue Him, seek Him, find Him, pursue Him, to be like Jesus. Going back to the analogy of Michael Jordan, I understand when he was in junior high school, he couldn't play worth anything. But what did he do? He had a goal, and he pursued that goal, and he applied himself to it. What I'm talking about this morning is a goal for every Christian. We should be like Christ. I mean, isn't that what Christian means, to be Christ-like? We should be like Jesus. And then when it happens, it's that I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. This Prince of Peace, he's one that is, he's glorious, he's wonderful, he's majestic, he's worth our emulation. He's worth us pursuing him to be just like Jesus. I pray that the Lord will bless into our hearts this peace that passes all understanding. May we pray.